Peterson is in the room, and we can move forward with House Bill 1193. This is an act providing procedures for initiating proposals for cooperation or consolidation as authorized by Constitutional Amendment B, as agreed to by the voters of South Dakota during the 2000 general election. Welcome, Representative Peterson.
Good morning, Senator Evers, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Pleasure to be here. I seem to spend a lot of time in this room, just like you. I'm going to be very brief in my comments. With me today is Chris Nelson from the Secretary of State's office, who can provide answers to any technical questions you might have. But last November, by a 55% to 45% margin, the voters of South Dakota voted to enact Constitutional Amendment B, which is a very simple amendment. It simply allows voters of local government entities to put on the ballot measures to coordinate or to consolidate or to eliminate various offices or segments of those local government entities. For example, if a city and a county would like to combine the treasurer's office within those two governmental entities, the voters, through the initiative process, could put that on the ballot for discussion and for action by all the voters of those two affected government entities. What this legislation does is very simple. It's simply enabling legislation. It sets up the rules and the procedures by which voters can initiate petitions and put such measures on the ballots. It follows loosely the laws that we already have on the books for statewide initiatives in terms of the process which the voters must undergo to ensure that they have a legal initiative. And we do have an amendment. We found an error, frankly, after we passed it through the House that we will be offering later. But as I said in introduction, it's a very simple bill which simply puts into law the procedures that voters need to follow based on the initiative laws we already have on the statutes if they want to follow the Constitutional Amendment B to enact consolidation or coordination of efforts at the local level. And with that, Madam Chair, I'd like to ask Chris Nelson to come up and talk about a little bit more about the technical nature of the bill.
Thank you, Representative Peterson. Welcome, Mr. Nelson.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, basically this bill would be considered the implementing legislation for the constitutional amendment that was passed. It simply provides the framework and the deadlines and the timelines and all of those kinds of things that we need to do to conduct an election that is now provided for under the Constitution. And essentially, if the people of two different jurisdictions want to combine these functions, citizens in each of those jurisdictions would have to petition independently, and then there would be an election held in each of those jurisdictions, and if it were passed in each of the jurisdictions, then whatever they seek to combine would in fact be combined. The amendment that was referred to, and if I might pass that around, deals with the question of when the election would be held. And it was discovered rather late that the Constitution requires that any of these combination elections be held at a general election. And the bill didn't specify that. The bill allowed for a special election. So this amendment brings the bill into complete compliance with the constitutional provision. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there questions from the committee? Yes, Senator Utmacher.
This, I assume that this is set up the same way, that same percentage numbers of referendum and the same takes a majority vote.
Actually, the percentage for the petition is higher than we have for most other initiatives. Referendums is 5%. This is 15%, but that's what the Constitution requires, so that's obviously what we're going with. So far as passing it, yes, simple majority.
Okay. Madam Chair, may I ask one more?
Senator Walker.
Thank you. If two entities, they both have to petition to do it. If one doesn't do the petition drive, then the deal's off, right?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Other questions from the committee?
And Chair.
Senator Dewberry.
Excuse me. On page 2, line 22, or beginning on line 21, talking about when the resolution takes effect, and it looks to me there's three dates upon which the resolution could take effect. 180 days after the election would be one, or another date as specifically stated in the resolution itself would be two, and then, or within 180 days as the affected local government entities may agree. I take that to mean if the local governments agree that they can consolidate within 60 days, they may do that. It's shorter than the 180. They don't need to wait the entire 6 months.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Senator Simmons?
I'm looking on page 2, lines 19-20, ending on 21. Appears to me that that sentence isn't written correctly. No initiated resolution of cooperation may become operative unless approved by the majority of the votes cast for and against. When you look at the structure of a sentence, is the majority cast for or is it cast against? The way it's written, it can be either one. I think you'd want to reword that thing so it's the majority of the votes cast for. And I understand what you're trying to say, but that's not what it says, I don't believe, when you look at the structure of that sentence.
I think we would agree if you simply remove the words and against.
Right.
And I think that language came from some other existing statutes. We may have to go out and do a little further searching, but you know, I'd certainly entertain that as a part of the other amendment that we've proposed.
It was line 20, page 2, which simply would strike the words and against.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator.
I think it would be better to omit the words for and against the resolution. So then it would simply read a majority of the votes cast in each of the affected local government entities.
Well, you would still want, Senator Duguard, if I could, Madam Chairman.
Yes.
You would still want that the majority of the votes would be cast in favor of somewhere.
It says approved by.
Approved.
It says approved by.
Well, I still think you would want the four there, or in favor of, or something to that effect.
It's the majority of the votes cast.
It's the majority of the votes cast, but in which direction, for or against?
It says approved.
I understand that.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Duker.
I think Senator Whiting is right, because you look at the majority of all the votes. In other words, how many votes were cast for? 5,000. How many votes were cast against? 3,000. You total all the votes to get 8,000. So you really do, I think you could leave it as is, for and against, and leave them all in there, and you say, what's the majority of this grand total? Or you take out for and against, but you shouldn't take out one or the other.
I have no problem with that. If you want to take it all out, approved will work.
In other words, if a strict reading is if I may, Madam Chair.
Yes.
If you're going to say a majority of the votes for, all right, then again, use the example, 5,000 votes were cast. What is a majority of the votes for, a majority of the 5,000 votes? That doesn't make sense. So it should be either a majority of the votes cast for and against, or just simply a majority of the votes cast. But I do think it's worthwhile to eliminate that extra verbiage, because it does give rise to the confusion.
Under that concept, you would be working from a majority of the votes cast in that election, no matter what the question would be or how.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I'm comfortable with that language. Okay.
So the amendment would be on line 20, page 2, to strike the words for and against the resolution. Okay. And with the committee's consent, we would just tack that on to amendment 1193 FA. Any objections to that?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator.
As long as we're talking about this section, I was confused when I read lines 22 and 23 within 180 days. It made me think within 180 days of what date? And I didn't immediately understand that it was intended to be sometime shorter than those two other alternatives. And so I would propose that at the end of line 22, after the word days, we insert after the election, if the sponsor would agree.
We have no objections.
Where is that?
That would be on line 22.
At the very end of that line, after the word days, insert after the election.
So you're qualifying the 180-day time period where the entities may agree to make sure that it's the 180 days after the election. Again, that would be in addition to the amendment 1193 FA. Okay. Any other questions or ideas?
We're open to any.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Are there other proponents for House Bill 1193? Other proponents? Are there any opponents to House Bill 1193? Any opponents? Okay, well, let's close for committee action and discussion. We have a pending amendment before us. Is there any discussion on the amendment? All those in favor of the amendment will say aye. Thank you. Before we finish asking for the opponents, we're not sure that we moved and seconded this amendment. Is there someone who would move it? Okay, it's been moved by Senator Simmons, seconded by Senator Brown. We'll now move forward. All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, we have amended House Bill 1193. Any further action or discussion on the part of the committee?
Move to pass
by Senator Brown. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Munson. Discussion? The secretary will call the roll, and all those in favor will say aye in passing House Bill 1193 as amended to the floor. All those opposed will say nay.
Aye.
House Bill 1193 has passed. Okay.